I'm a little concerned right now about your salvation and stuff. How come you have not been baptized?
Because I never got around to it, okay? I don't know why you always have to be judging me. Because I only believe in science.
But tonight, we are going up against Satan's cavemen. And I just thought it would be a good idea if you... Felicidades.
Just be very thankful I'm not walking around in a wrestling suit and a bowl of water here this morning. Penetrating question, though. Why have you never been baptized? Never got around to it. We're in our series called Replenish and Refreshing, and I wanted to say this, that there is probably the single most important activity, water activity, to refresh and replenish your soul than entering the waters of baptism. I want to acknowledge before we begin this morning that there's a wide range of people sitting here when it comes to baptism, and that is, for some of you, you are not yet followers of Jesus. You're investigating, you're learning. Then there are others who have been baptized. You've been a follower of Christ for years and years and years. And there are people in the middle who have become followers of Christ but have never been baptized for many, many different reasons. You're a believer, but you've put it off. Perhaps you've been taught it's unnecessary. Perhaps you have great fears of water, fears of speaking in public. For some, you don't want the embarrassment, frankly. This is true. Some people just, they don't want to be seen looking like a drowned rat, all wet hair, makeup running. For some of you, you've left it so long that you decided, it doesn't really matter anymore. This morning, I want to encourage you, from whatever position you find yourself in the issue of baptism, that you would listen well. For those who are seeking the faith, really pay attention. Well, you're seeking Christ. I want to encourage your heart this morning. This will be an absolutely necessary step for you. For those who have become Christians, you've prayed a prayer and received Christ, and you're learning and growing in your faith, but for many reasons, maybe you've set it aside and haven't become baptized. I especially ask also you to pay very close attention. And for those who've been baptized and are doing very well with God, I would want you to really think at perhaps new levels today for something that you may hear to encourage your heart, to recall your own baptism. And as we look at its significance today, that there would be something that is said that would just allow the Spirit of God to sort of engage you with the meaning of what transpired. Also, so that you can tell others, you can teach your adult children perhaps, or other people who come to Christ, you can teach them about baptism, or you can teach your children, and encourage your friends. So I want us all to be on the same page when it comes to baptism. This is not going to be an exhaustive study on baptism. A great study we walk through in baptism class. We kind of walk through the who, what, where, when, why, how kind of questions. And those are all very important. I was tempted to do that today. But I'm going to focus on one thing in particular that has a few parts to it that we don't often think about. And that is, I want to focus on the significance, the question why. Why should we be baptized today? You know, in the New Testament, an unbaptized follower of Jesus was a total contradiction. It was an oxymoron, kind of like jumbo shrimp. It just doesn't make sense together. Or Microsoft Works. Sorry. For those of us in the Apple crowd, we know exactly what we mean by that. No Christian was ever commanded to be baptized in the New Testament. Do you understand that? Why would that be? Because it was totally assumed that when you responded to faith in Christ, you would be baptized immediately. Unbelievers were commanded to repent and be baptized. Christians were never commanded to be baptized. Not because it wasn't important. It was absolutely essential. They were not commanded to be baptized because it assumed that every follower of Christ already was. Does that make sense to you? The longest person in the recorded narratives of the early church who, the longest time between experiencing Christ and salvation and being baptized in water was the Apostle Paul. And that was somewhere between 1 and 3 days. I could take you through a litany all through the whole book of Acts to show you that. We could talk about the first worship manual of the church, the Didache, that was really the teaching of the apostles and the next generation from the apostles. Some of the apostles still alive in its formation. And they gave specific instruction to the church as how they were to handle baptism. And it was to be done ASAP, immediately, as soon after belief as is possible. You see, it's like the gift of being forgiven and born anew and afresh in Christ is kind of like the gift that Christ gives us. And baptism is the gift wrapping. It's absolutely essential. My friend and mentor, Brian Buehler, Pacific Community Church in Vancouver area, says this, that baptism is a major identity crisis where, in Summit speak, disciples or intentional followers of Jesus Christ associate themselves primarily with Jesus. You see, we all grow up struggling with our identity to some many different degrees. We see it in young people all the time, where they mimic or identify with friends or certain people they idolize. They dress like them, they act like them, they do the things they do. And sometimes parents can sort of make fun of our youth culture who do this, but actually adults do the same thing. We associate ourselves with people, places, things, movements, all kinds of things. But baptism comes when a person responds to Christ and they're baptized. It's a major identity crisis where a person disassociates himself or herself from every other association or identity that they've latched onto in that way. And they identify primarily or associate themselves primarily with Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that other associations and relationships are now not important. You read the scripture and it tells us very important how we treat our family, how we love them, how we love other people and all of that. But the primary association and identification now in our conversion and at our baptism means that other ones now relinquish their place, surrender their position as the primary identity and association for the follower of Jesus. Our identification comes with Christ and his kingdom. Brian went on to say that baptism is a radical, sometimes culturally subversive initiation rite into a kingdom that is at odds with the kingdoms of this world. That's why, did you know in the first and second century, thousands of believers went into the waters of baptism, and as soon as they came out of the water, or up out of the water, they were slaughtered. They would not say, "Hail Caesar, he is Lord." No, Jesus is Lord. And they came up out of the waters of baptisms to their death. The primary identification in our baptism now means that Jesus is our primary identity. I am a child of God, a servant of Christ. My identity is found in Jesus Christ and in his kingdom. So let's look at the significance of baptism today. I want to give you, take a breath. I got my clock going. Oh, there, now it's going. Look at that. It doesn't work. Excellent. Now it's going. So here's the deal. I'm going to give you very quickly. Now I want you to just race through with me. I'm going to give you 8 reasons why baptism is so significant. Some of them you've never thought of, I'm sure. But I really believe this to be true. The first one is this. When I get baptized, I follow the example of Jesus. Jesus set the example for all of his followers by, in his human flesh, he surrendered himself to baptism. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. In those days, Jesus came up from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately saw the heavens open, being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Jesus set an example. Matthew's passage tells us that he did this to fulfill all righteousness. That is, to model all rightness, right living. Jesus set an example. And if we are to follow him, we follow his example too. Another reason why it's very significant, secondly, is that I obey the command of Jesus. I obey the command of Jesus. Jesus stood before his followers in his last sort of statement he makes to his followers. And he says this. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth," Matthew 28, "has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe or to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus, who has all authority, he is Lord. And he said, "Go make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them." He told his followers, we are to all be involved in this great mission about making disciples. And so when we get baptized, we are obeying the command of Christ. As soon as Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit fell. The first great sermon is preached. And at the end of it, people felt convicted in their hearts. Acts chapter 2. Now when they heard this, that is the gospel being preached, they were cut to the heart, that is, they were convicted deep in their inner person. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you," not some of you, every one of you, "in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repent and be baptized was the command given in response to the good news of the gospel of Christ. And sometimes I feel like Jesus, who said in Luke, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say?" Brother or sister in this room today, if you are a follower of Jesus and have not become a baptized follower or believer in Christ, you are at odds with the teaching and the commands of Scripture. I just don't know how to be as clear about it as I can be. So why is it significant? Again, we follow Christ's example, we obey his command, and as we get deeper into its real meaning, we see that we identify with the person of Jesus. We identify with him in his redemptive work and who he is and what he accomplished. Our identity is so closely related by faith to the person of Christ that I'm united with him. And Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5 tells us about this. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. That is our unity with him, and our association, our identity with him was so close that when he died, it's like we died. We got through our baptism, it's like we are dead with Christ. We go under the water, we are buried, therefore, with him. By baptism into death, in order that, here's the good news, that as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in his death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Friends, our union and our identity, when we completely, by faith, our spirit is united or in union, vital union with the risen, with Christ himself. Excuse me. When we place our faith in him, there is a union that takes place spirit to spirit. That when Christ died and we are baptized, it's like we died with him. When he was buried in the tomb, it's like we're under the water, we were buried with him. And when he was raised to new life, resurrected, so too we were raised that we might have new life in him. Friends, our identity with Jesus and his work is so close and it's so significant because in baptism, that's exactly what happens and why it's so significant. We identify with Christ in his death and his resurrection. These aren't just words in a scripture that we read about that have disconnection with us. Every follower of Christ by faith, you need to understand how deep the union is. And so when we are baptized, it's like we believe and we're baptized, it's like we are dying with Christ to our old life and our old self, to our sin, and burying that. And then we are being raised, resurrected to a whole new life. Significance of baptism and not just identity, but I confess my faith in Jesus. This is where you get to stand in front of friends, family, relatives, and you confess your faith. Thank you, girl. You confess your faith. They say, I believe. I believe in Jesus. I declare my allegiance to Jesus. So I speak about it. I give my testimony that I believe in Christ, who he was, what he did for me on the cross. I confess my faith in Christ. I go public. Matthew chapter 10 says, speaking of the confessional nature of the faith of Christ, or of the Christian, says, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess them before my Father is in heaven. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. People say, why do I have to get up and speak in front of people? I can't speak in front of people. I won't do it. There is such a deep connection with the confessional nature of belief that is absolutely essential for every Christian to vocalize and give verbal witness to confess their faith in Jesus. Do you see that? Now, I never let anyone off the hook from confessing their faith. Because I believe it's pastoral malpractice for me to do that. Because with the mouth, you confess and are saved. It's so important. And you know what? This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. In Acts 1:8, it says, you'll receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witness. You see, from the very outset of your faith, where you trust Christ and you enter the waters of baptism and you give verbal testimony or confession of your faith, you experience the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you to do something that you are absolutely afraid of. And if you cave at the very beginning of your faith from speaking, That will plague you your entire Christian life. So God, when he asks us to do something, enables us by his Holy Spirit. You'll receive the power, the enabling, to be able to do what you're naturally afraid of and you won't be able to do. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, he will give you the power and you will be my witness. Afraid from the get-go. You don't know many people in 29 years of baptizing people as a pastor. How often people say to me privately, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. And I'll say, I know you can't, and you're going to. And they say, no, I can't. I said, and then we walk through this whole thing about the Holy Spirit. You know how many people, after they come up out of the water and they turn and they give me a hug, I whisper in their ear, you did it. And they go, I did. I will never rob someone of the joy of experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit to do something they would never, ever do. Because it'll have ramifications their entire Christian journey. And Jesus said, if you won't acknowledge me or confess me before people, ooh, there's consequence to that. Now, if you don't like crowds, sometimes we can video you privately, but you're still going to speak. We confess our faith in Christ in our baptism. Very closely related to this is, I proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Did you know that? As you share your story, you are actually sharing the gospel. The good news of what Christ has done in and through you, how he has revealed himself to you and has forgiven your sin and cleansed you and has empowered you and now and given you a whole new life in the kingdom of God. And when you tell people of who Jesus is and what he's done for you, you are proclaiming the gospel at your baptism. And for some of you, it will be the single largest audience you will ever preach the gospel to. Have you ever thought about that? When you share your story at baptism, it may have been the biggest audience that you've ever shared the gospel with. It's huge, and it's absolutely important. You proclaim the gospel. Colossians chapter 2 highlights these things about the gospel, and it says, I've been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of full working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you were dead in your trespasses, but God made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of our debt that stood against us and its legal demands. This he, that is Christ, set aside, nailing it to the cross. That's good news. You share the gospel in your baptism. I also devote myself to Jesus anew and afresh. It's an opportunity where I devote myself to him. I dedicate myself wholly to God without reservation, giving myself fully to Christ. It's a very significant act of worship and devotion. It's not just some ritual. It's an act of devotion and dedication and worship unto God. Reminds me of the passage in Romans 12:1, where it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Oh, baptism is an act where I devote myself in utter dedication and worship to God or to Christ himself. I connect to the church of Jesus Christ. Baptism, actually, when you look at history, and some would even argue biblically, and it would take more time than we have this morning to get into it, be unmistakable, Christ alone saves, right? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. when our baptism seals or identifies us not just with Christ, but also with his body. It seems patently incongruent that we would identify with the head of the body and not with the body itself. When you are baptized, you actually identify with the church of Christ. Faith brings you into connection with the church universal, yes, but baptism brings you into connection with the church local, the visible expression of the church around the world. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, after repent and be baptized, every one of you, he says, so those who received his word, that is those who heard the preaching, and they received his word and were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Added to what? The church. Paul in Ephesians, again, shows the connection. There is one body, speaking of the church. There's one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You see, when we are baptized, there's one body. And in our baptism, we connect with the body of Christ. Again, it is incongruent to identify with Jesus and yet not be identified with his body. And lastly, I commit to the mission of Christ. I commit to the mission. Because as I identify with Jesus, I live in obedience to him, it is totally incumbent that I respond to his final command, and that is to make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. Go, therefore, because he has all authority, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. How can you church, we talk about hypocrites in the church. How can we say we embrace the mission of Jesus and ourselves, we are not even baptized? That seems patently incongruent. So can you see how baptism is so much more than just getting wet as a symbol? And it's more than only obeying. We follow Christ's example. We obey Christ's commands. We identify with Christ's life. We confess our faith in Christ. We proclaim the gospel of Christ. We devote ourselves to Christ. We connect to the church of Christ and we commit to the mission of Christ. It is very significant. And as you understand this today, maybe more fulsomely than you ever have before, I trust that you will see exactly what you did. Or I hope that you will see why you need to respond to the call to baptism. I want to show a few pictures as I close today. I asked Lisa Rorick, our international worker in Niger, West Africa, if she would show me a few pictures of baptisms there. And so she sent this first one where they were baptized. He was baptized in a river. And then we see another one where they were baptized in a mud hole. They literally just dug out a mud hole and poured a bunch of water in it, deep enough to be baptized in. And this one I love, in an empty oil barrel. This man just somehow fit in there. They filled it and scrunched him down, and he got baptized. You see, it doesn't matter where, in ponds, in horse troughs, in hot tubs, swimming pools, lakes, rivers, oceans, built-in baptismal tanks in churches. What matters is that a person, once they respond to Christ, obey him and trust him and enter the replenishing waters of baptism. We want you to just watch a video for a second here. And these are some great shots of baptisms here at Summit and underlined with a song referenced last week. And I want to encourage you. I'm going to come up after this and I want to give you some spiritual direction as we leave. So have a look. There's just something so moving about seeing people respond to faith. In light of the backdrop of all that baptism means, let me just say to those of you who have already been baptized, have you let your devotion slip? I just want to call you to full devotion and obedience to Christ again. Live in vital union with him. Well, here's my question. Will you repent, those of you who don't know Christ yet, will you repent, believe, and be baptized? And if you have been baptized, have you, or if you've believed, have you been baptized since you believed? You put it off. Remember talking to one guy in my small group years ago? He said, man, it's been like 32 years. I said, why have you waited that long to miss the blessing of God in your life? Don't put it off. Some of you in this room need to make that step. This is your next step. Either initially becoming a Christian and being baptized, or if you've become a Christian, you prayed a prayer, but you've put it off. It's time. It's time. Today is your day. Don't you walk out of this place without making a commitment to be baptized. And we've made arrangements. You can actually be baptized today.